Is the CPA license in danger? I'm Chris Basden, an editor with the Journal of Accountancy, and that's the topic we're going to cover on today's edition of the J of A podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the continuing threats to the CPA license thanks to legislation that's been proposed in states around the country. My guests today are Skip Brazeal, Vice President of State Regulatory and Legislative Affairs of the AICPA, and Jennifer B. Briggs, President and CEO of the Indiana CPA Society. Skip, let's start with you. The last time we spoke on a podcast, we talked about a growing concern for CPAs, the deregulatory environment in the states. Can you give us a quick refresher on what that means for CPAs?
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me. The environment is still much as we discussed last year. There's definitely a narrative out there that there's too much regulation writ large. So it's not specifically aimed at CPAs per se. But the challenge for our profession is that when legislation is being discussed or is being drafted, oftentimes it is written so broadly that we are brought into that. And so our concern has always been, you know, what does it mean to de-license our profession? What does it mean to get in the way of substantial equivalency, and which is so important to how we regulate our profession, and it involves mobility. Some of the things we've worked very diligently over the last 20 years to do to decrease burdens and regulations in our profession. You know, what does that really mean? And so what we have tried to do, last year, this year, is really educate policymakers on some of the unintended consequences for some of these ideas that, you know, by themselves may or may not be bad, but when you overlay sort of a one-size-fits-all solution to a problem that they see, that there are issues that arise that we need to make them aware of before they go so far down the track and it really harms our profession.
What did we see in states' 2019 legislative sessions? Did any states move forward with deregulation?
Oh, lots of states introduced bills this year. A little bit different focus than what we saw last year. Last year we saw like a pack of Western states that really went after temporary licenses. We saw a lot of bills, sort of right to earn a living bills. This year what we saw, interesting, I think maybe some lessons learned from the other side, they really focused more on some criminal justice issues, so really getting at making sure that states had a clear definition of what moral turpitude meant, so that, you know, if we were using that to keep folks who were formerly incarcerated or folks who had issues out, that they would actually know what those issues were or what those hurdles and challenges are or were, so that they could, you know, manage those issues. We saw bills, and I know Jennifer is going to talk a little bit about this later, but we saw some really challenging bills that would basically eliminate licensing. And just put the burden on consumers to determine, you know, what was competent and what was not competent in terms of folks delivering services, which we obviously were very much opposed to. We also saw some of the same bills that we've seen in the past regarding making it easier for folks to do reciprocity. In fact, Arizona passed perhaps the broadest reciprocal licensing bill that we've seen thus far. You know, pretty much if you're a licensee anywhere in the country and you've held that license for a year, you can move to Arizona and start work immediately. And that will have consequences for, you know, our profession and others that I think right now they're still trying to figure out what it really means. So to answer your question succinctly, yes, there was lots of activity. We probably monitored closely probably 50 or so bills. Not a lot of them passed, quite frankly, but it's still our job to stay on top of those things and monitor it so that they don't, you know, go in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. So you gave me some good examples there. Are there any other specific examples you think are noteworthy in regards to how some of the different ways states are trying to deregulate occupations, or did that pretty much cover it?
I think that pretty much covered it. Again, I sort of bucket these bills and what I would describe as a highly problematic but very low probability of passing. That's sort of the bucket I would put the bill, that consumer choice bill I kind of mentioned at the top, that we saw in Indiana and West Virginia and Missouri. But then you have other bills that are less, have a higher probability of passing, but probably not as problematic, and that's probably more the reciprocity bills. And it covers a spectrum, and you'll see bills that sort of will fill in along that spectrum, if you will. But I think I've pretty much covered, the types of bills that we've seen.
So I'm wondering, why is this gaining so much steam? Don't people want CPAs to be properly regulated?
They do. They very much do. Again, I will go back to what I sort of started with at the beginning. It's this idea is not really focused specifically at our profession. We get brought into the discussion because, legislators are dealing oftentimes with model legislation that starts out bringing everybody into the discussion. And so it puts the onus or the burden on individual professions to get carved out, if you will. But the reason why I think it's so attractive is a number of different reasons. I think foremost is because a lot of times it's easy to sell the messaging that there's too much regulation. I think that's just sort of embedded in who we are as Americans. We don't, we don't like to have a government that's too aggressive or too active. So the messaging is really easy to sell. I think it's really easy to sell to legislators because it seems like sort of a no-cost opportunity to get a quick, easy victory. So, when you're a legislator, you're trying to get things done, and somebody hands you a bill that says the Right to Earn a Living Act, that seems to be a pretty easy thing to sell to your constituents. So our challenge is to really get folks to be more thoughtful about the bills that they introduced and really educate them on the impact they have, not just on some of the occupations that they may be more concerned about, but really the occupation or the professions, I should say, that are much more technical, accountants, CPAs, engineers, architects, some of these professions that are highly, highly technical that really you need to have scrutiny over because there's so much public risk involved. So that's really our challenge, and that's really what we've been working on, over the last 4 or 5 months.
When you and I talked last time, you pointed out, if I recall correctly, that this was coming from both sides of the political debate. Is that still true? You don't have to go into it a lot, but I think it's important to point out.
Yeah, definitely. I think oftentimes we find a lot of issues that get pigeonholed by one part of the political spectrum or the other. This is one of the few issues that I've run across, or anybody's probably run across, that it really does sort of bring people together. Because again, I think we can all sort of agree that we want folks to have opportunity, we want folks to be able to work in their chosen professions or occupations, but I think we want to do that so long as they're competent. And so that's really the challenge, And does every occupation or profession require the same standards and levels of competency? Probably not. But it's really, it's a lot more challenging to sort of go through each of those occupations and determine which ones do and which ones don't. And so what we're fighting against is really making folks do that extra step, And so that's always a challenge, regardless of the issue, but even more so with this one, because it really does put, I think, a great burden on the public, because you really put the public at risk if you skip steps and you have folks out there that aren't really competent to perform these services.
So I want you to take out your crystal ball, take a good long look into it. Do you think we're going to see more of this issue in 2020?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's a quick look. and I say that because we've seen so many bills introduced over the last few years. One of the things that we have at AICPA, we keep maps. We keep maps of almost everything. But if I were to have all my maps laid out on the table, you would see in 2016 a few states kind of sprinkled in, and in 2017 a few more states sprinkled in, and in 2018, 2019, where we are now, almost the entire map would be colored, showing that there are bills that have been introduced. So I fully believe in 2020, we're going to continue to see that trend because not a lot of bills have been passed, but they are getting more and more traction. We're seeing more and more literature, more and more studies by think tanks and other groups that are promoting this idea about, you know, do we really have the appropriate level of government in our lives as it relates to occupations and professions, and what does that mean on economic activity? So I wholeheartedly believe that we're going to see this trend continue into 2020.
And what will happen if we don't do anything about this?
Well, if we don't tell our story, if we're not out, you know, educating policymakers, you know, the fear or the risk is that one of these bills will pass and it will take licensing out of the hands of the boards of accountancy and will de-license our profession. And we really wholeheartedly believe that that is a risk that we can't take as a profession. We just can't allow a profession that's been, you know, licensed over 100 years, that with pretty much stellar credentialing standards and professional standards, and then sort of throw that out to the wind and let the market sort of, you know, dictate, you know, what competency means. I mean, that's not what a profession should do. We're held to a higher standard for a reason. You know, our standards are rigorous for a reason. And we need to continually remind people why that is and the good work that we do.
And what should CPAs who are listening to this podcast right now, what should they be doing? How can they get involved?
I would encourage, you know, all the CPAs, you know, first thing you can do is get in contact with your CPA societies. You know, that's part of the reason why you're a member, is for that advocacy component. And, you know, the folks on the ground are doing just yeoman's work. Again, educating policymakers, letting them know, you know, all the great work the CPAs are doing in those local communities. And that's probably the best way to get your voice amplified. Feel free to reach out to us at AICPA. We'd be more than happy to engage with you on these issues. You know, we may ask you to be a messenger. I mean, we've got a great message, but we always need better messengers for that message. Reach out to your state elected officials. Let them know how you feel about these issues. Write a letter, you know, text, Twitter, tweet, whatever. We just need to always be prepared to raise our voice and tell our story, because if we're not, others will tell it for us.
Thanks. Now, Jennifer, let's transition over to you. Skip mentioned some different ways that states are trying to deregulate occupations. What did you see happen in Indiana?
A lot. We had 6 licensure bills that posed some sort of threat to our members in Indiana. Some would affect mobility. Others were just redundant, and that would make things complicated for CPAs. We worked hard to ensure that 4 of the bills died in committee. Some of them were about rulemaking, which is already very challenging in Indiana. We have a governor-mandated moratorium on rules as it is, so making it even more complicated. I don't know how you get more complicated than a moratorium, but we somehow tried to do that. Also, there was a bill that was aimed at getting rid of our professional licensing agency entirely and moving all of that over to the Department of Workforce Development. So that was obviously a troubling one as well. You know, in addition, we had some bills that were related to our Board of Accountancy. Mm-hmm. One was a governor's bill, again, trying to get back to, in Indiana, there's a lot of talk of cutting red tape, and it's, which goes in line, right, with these deregulation bills.
Sure.
And so for boards, for professions with fewer than 15,000 licensees, they wanted to cut one member of the board. So, you know, we have to pick our battles, and that was one that we, you know, didn't love, but we're still figuring out how they're going to implement that. But we also could kind of use that as a bargaining chip, to be honest. Another bill was related to disqualifying crimes. So essentially last year, the legislature passed a bill that said you have to outline all of the crimes that would prohibit one from getting a license. Hmm. that turned out to be a lot harder than you would think it is. And so this year they took that back. So it's that kind of thing that you have to watch year over year and see what's happening.
So under some of this consumer choice legislation, I'm just wondering, could anyone, for example, perform an audit? What are you seeing in Indiana?
That was definitely our concern. Basically, what that bill would do would say, you know, as long as the consumer agreed that you were capable of whatever it is, it could be an audit, it could be any licensed profession. Again, as I think Skip talked about, it's not aimed at CPAs, it's right. just aimed at licensed professions. And so, yeah, you could have somebody sign off and say, sure, you're not a CPA, but you can do my audit, that sounds great. And we thought that was a really bad idea. the hard part is they tend to add details into these bills that make it sound okay. So for example, in that bill, they talked about, there was a provision that the professional needed to comply with health, safety, security, confidentiality, reporting, and consumer protections required of a licensed individual, if that makes sense. So basically saying they could be licensed, they're just not. The problem with that is, how do you implement that? Where do you police that? Is it after the person has been swindled or after the audit has gone wrong?
Right.
So that was a huge concern to us.
And what was the reaction in your state in general? Were people in favor of this legislation?
Yes and no. So some legislators who were proposing this, obviously, were no members of the public that we spoke to were in favor of it. Honestly, a lot of people didn't even know about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really huge challenge for state CPA societies and really any professional association, is a lot of the work we do is behind the scenes. A lot of the work we do is working with legislators to not get something, so a bill won't get a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've worked to get a bill kind of ignored,
right.
the last thing you want to do is tell all your members about it. And so that's our big challenge.
Do you think the legislators knew that this bill would include professions like CPA?
Some did, but I don't think generally they're always thinking through the consequences, and that's why we're here, that's why our lobbyist is there. When they get right down to it, sounds like a good idea until you get to, I believe in New Mexico it was a similar idea, but when they got right down to it, the governor vetoed it because they said, you know, architects, accountants, we really need them to know what they're doing.
Right.
So, yeah, I just think there's some disinformation or a lack of education sometimes.
Based on what happened to the bill, or bills rather, this year, do you think there's a threat of any of them coming back next year?
100%. Yes, I am sure there is. Part of that is just because of where they're coming from. They're backed by large, you know, national organizations that are coming to Indiana legislators and introducing the idea, and I'm very certain they will be back again.
So what advice would you have for CPAs, either in Indiana in the future or in other states right now and in the future, that are facing this threat?
Be involved, at least be aware, read the emails. I know it's a lot of emails, read the emails. Honestly, we've worked really hard this year to create a CPA advocate program,
mm-hmm.
Wherein each legislator is connected to a member. And in addition to that, just doing a lot more like state house tours and just showing our members that it's not as scary as it sounds to be involved and talk to legislators and that kind of thing. So I would say two things, you know, pay attention. And the other one is believe us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say most of our members do, but some of these things sound so outlandish, mm-hmm. that they can't believe it would ever happen. And that's exactly when things happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Skip. And thanks again to our audience for listening today.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.